Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
Now, straight from the headlines, we bring you the latest top newsmakers.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. And today, my special guest is Kim Hamilton. Kim is the editor of the Deerhorn Valley Antler. This is part of our outreach to bring in voices from the news media across East County that are reporting these important stories in the small towns and communities throughout our region. For those of you who don't know where Deerhorn Valley is, it's a very charming rural town southeast of Hamul. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. It's really lovely to be here.
Kim is here because she's been reporting on some very troubling issues involving AT&T phone service down in her area. And most recently in January, the seriousness of the problem came to light when Kim's neighbor saw a barn on fire and attempted to dial 911. Kim, tell us what happened.
My neighbor, who had just gotten a new home wireless system from AT&T, tried to make a 911 call that morning when she saw the smoke, and after the first nine, the call was dropped. She tried again and again and again. She finally called me, and we got the call in. This just pointed up a terribly dangerous situation that AT&T is putting us all into in the rural backcountry.
Now, what happened to the barn?
The barn burned to the ground, along with several animals that were in the barn.
So tragic, and perhaps it could have been saved if that first 9/11 call had gone through faster.
Who knows?
Now, this is all about AT&T selling backcountry residents something called this wireless home phone system. Now, we're not talking about a cordless phone that's
correct.
A landline.
Right. We are talking about something that is really nothing more than a cell phone. It does plug into your wall, into the electrical outlet. It does not plug into any kind of phone jack. It has a little antenna, and it is advertised that this will connect to your existing wireless handset and your existing phone, or you can buy one from them. And the problem is that as a cell phone, it is no better than the cell reception that you get on anything else.
We all know is very troubling and has been for a long time. I mean, more than two years ago, we wrote about a rancher in Deerhorn Valley or Hamul area who had no cell reception at all and where he lived, and then his landline went down, AT&T landline, and he was unable to call 911 when his prize llama was bitten by a rattlesnake and it died before he could get help. So there's a long history of these kind of issues.
There is. AT&T is not very interested in keeping our landlines in good shape. And the older ones, which mean those that did not burn down in the 2007 fire, those older ones are very problematic and typically lose their reception after every rainstorm.
Wow.
And so that's something. Now, those of us that went through the heart of the fire got brand new lines, and ours worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
Cell service, we all tell our visitors to stop at the bottom of Honey Springs Road, which is 8 miles from where we live, and make their final cell phone call, because there is no reliable service. There are nooks and crannies, there are little spots.
And yet with this very notoriously unreliable cell phone service out there, AT&T, from what you've reported, is going around to homeowners in the area and saying, let us replace your landline with these wireless home bases. Trust us, it's going to work.
And they're not actually coming to our area, but as people go down to the Rancho San Diego AT&T store, for example, on completely unrelated business, they are asked, would they like to save some money? Here's this great new product, and it works in your area. And when various members of our community have expressed some doubts, like, well, I don't really get much cell service, it's very iffy, they're told, oh no, look on our maps, you're right in the middle. But the fact is, when they get home with these units, they spend anywhere from 5 days or more with no service whatsoever.
Wow.
While this
very
takes.
Dangerous.
They cannot call out. They can receive calls on their existing service. They, for 5 days, they cannot call out, even 911.
Wow, so you can't call out on a landline. You can't call out on a cell
phone. That is correct.
Without it's like pioneer days again out
yes.
there.
Yes. Well, you can call service. Out on your cell phone. If you have an existing service, that's what they
well,
will tell you,
you
to use.
But
if
how many
you
of
get reception, exactly right.
So what's happened if people got home, found out the phone didn't work right, and tried to return it?
It has been a nightmare. I was first alerted to this, as I said, from a neighbor who tried to call the 911 number when she saw the smoke of the barn burning. That was in January. We are now toward the beginning of March. She has just received her landline back, but I went through my notes this morning that she had given me. She had 24 separate conversations with AT&T over a period of about 3.5 to 4 weeks.
So this was a very challenging process.
She was in tears because of the stress, and she was continually after hours on the phone, then sent back right to square one. She did finally was given the name and number of an individual that she called, and within 2 to 3 days, her landline was back, and it required no visit. It required no access to the property.
Are there others? Done. Is she the only one you're aware of who's tried to get rid of this?
Oh, no. Virtually, when I put out the what we call an antler alert, it's an email alert alerting to people to different situations in our backcountry. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you're having similar problems, if you know about this, please let me know. I got back over 20 responses.
My goodness.
A small community. Mm-hmm. We're a community of only about 350 homes.
Right.
And
that's a lot.
To a person, people had experienced the same thing, and especially trying to get rid of the service and bring their landline back.
And some of them are still stuck with it.
Some of them are still stuck with it. Most of them told me they didn't realize they were signing up for a 2-year contract, and that the fine for stopping that 2-year contract or bowing out of it was close to $300.
Wow.
And this is a safety issue. This is a dangerous safety issue. We live in an area where SDG&E cuts our power during the worst red flag situations.
Yeah, and you yourself, I lost your home up
we
there.
We lost our outbuildings.
Your outbuilding.
But
your
I lost
office.
11 of my 17 closest neighbors.
Wow. Who lost their homes
who lost their homes
the
to the ground.
2007.
And we went through 3 months with no phone service after that. So we're pretty resilient.
So AT&T took 3 months to replace even the landlines.
That was the landlines. They had burned. You cannot be without landline and cell. In my opinion, you need as much redundancy, as much backup as possible.
Yeah, what if you have a medical emergency out there? What if your car breaks down? What if there's a wildfire and you need to get information or send information?
And one thing people often don't realize is when they call 911 from a cell phone, their address does not appear. And that is true with these home wireless systems. So if you have a guest in your home, if you have a child that doesn't know the address, the number, and our addresses are quite long and
Or you're choking, you're having a heart attack, and you pass out before you can say
that
everything.
That 911 operator will not know where you are. You will come in as a cell call, and the best they can do is triangulate and come down to our
the
area.
The neighborhood, maybe.
That's right.
Which may help if you're in a traffic accident, they might find you, but if you're at home collapsed on your kitchen floor, that doesn't do you any good.
Exactly.
Now, by contrast, if you have a landline, 911 can trace the exact location, and they will send emergency operators to, even if you do nothing more than dial it, and you can't say anything.
Even if it's a hang-up, your address is right there.
Correct.
And you will get help. And I'm not advising anyone to get rid of a cell phone. I have a cell phone. I would not be without it.
So you're saying, but have both. It shouldn't be a replacement for a landline.
That's right. And in fact, my cell phone, my answer voice machine for the cell phone says, I'm probably out of reach. That means I'm at home. And so please call my landline, the 468 number.
Yeah, there you go. Because in your area, the landlines through AT&T, as long as you don't have a fire that's burned them down, they do work, even
they
in
do
a power
work.
Outage in your
and
area.
And we're talking the old corded landline.
Right. Now, I should issue one little caveat here for readers who don't have AT&T but may have some other service, that not all landlines work during power outages. I know my own. I have Cox, which is generally wonderful service on many things, but when we had the big blackout, my landline did not work, nor did a lot of other Cox folks. So there's no perfect system. You don't know during a fire, during a blackout for sure. So my advice to everyone is always redundancy. Like you say, if you can afford it, have both the landline and the cell. But your advice is if you have to choose economically between one or the other in the backcountry.
If you have to choose, if I had to choose one, I would choose my landline. But I would want a neighbor with a cell.
Right.
it just makes no sense. You know, landlines, originally, when AT&T put up our nationwide system, they were designed to withstand catastrophic circumstances, right up to nuclear war, and be at least 50% reliable. That is no longer true. And a cell system is extremely fragile, as we've found, Hurricane Sandy being the last.
Well, not only that, there's human error. What if you forgot to charge your cell phone, which I've done plenty of times, and all of a sudden you need to dial out for an emergency? So the landlines definitely have their advantages. Now, long-term, is AT&T, what are they looking to do long-term?
Long-term, my understanding is, and from the quotes that I've read in doing the research online, AT&T would like to have us to be under a nationwide cellular system. This would replace landlines. It's much less expensive, the maintenance and such, as you can imagine, for AT&T.
Is that a kind of a scary prospect?
It is terrifying for people that live in rural areas where there are not enough repeaters or cell towers to give us good service. And sometimes even when they, on the map, it looks like there's enough. We live in little nooks and crannies and hollows.
Right.
And I know in my house, I can actually get cell service from the north side of my couch, but from the south side.
It's like that, too. If I go up to the upper bedroom and stand in the corner and point it a certain way, I have reliable cell service, but not necessarily.
After the fire, we all put up signs. This is a sweet spot for Verizon. This is a sweet spot for AT&T. And we drove around looking to see where we could get cell coverage.
Now, in all fairness, we reached out and touched AT&T here to ask them to respond to these complaints from residents about the difficulties reaching 911 with cells and these problems with the new wireless home bases that they're selling. And this was the response we got from Ann Gable, their PR person. She said, AT&T is proud to be a part of the East County community and is committed to upgrading our 4G LTE wireless network to support our customers' needs. In fact, last year we turned up 7 new sites in East County, which includes the communities of Hamul and Dulzura. These 2013 investments build on the nearly $750 million AT&T invested in its wireless and wired network throughout San Diego from 2010 to 2012. Additionally, AT&T has plans to continue upgrading our service in East County. And she went on, through improved technologies and development of a more dynamic and robust infrastructure in East County, we are dedicated to delivering the fastest, most reliable coverage for our customers. Now, I responded back to her and said, gee, 7 new sites in East County, including Hamul and Dulzura, but obviously it's not good enough if 911 calls are still getting dropped. Can you give us a timetable for when you're going to improve that situation out there for the residents in Dearhorn Valley and Hamul? And I got no answer. So you can read that however you want, but it didn't appear that saving lives in this rural area was being given as high a priority as perhaps it should have. What would you like AT&T to do, number one?
Maybe before I even go there, I'd like to respond to something that I picked up this time in her answer, which is that they're putting a lot of money into a 4G system. We don't even get 3G. What I get out there is EDGE. If that makes any sense, it's the oldest and it's the slowest kind of connection we could possibly have. So we do not have any kind of 4G connection. And what I'd like to tell AT&T, if our lives and our property and our safety doesn't matter to them, then they should at least be concerned about their own responsibility, their own liability, when the next fire comes. Because when the next fire comes, we will not have electricity. These phones will not work. And we depend upon good information to know when to escape, when to evacuate. We only have one main route, but we have a couple of secondary routes. Any information we get will save lives. And all of the information that we do not get through this system is going to cost lives.
Right. A couple more questions, Kim. You mentioned that, in your view, the advertising of these wireless home bases or wireless home phone units is deceptive in your...
In my view, when you go into an AT&T store, and this is what has happened to at least 5 individuals I've spoken to, they're not going in looking for this system. They're being marketed it. You're going to save money. It's $8 a month. You're going to save $30 a month.
But they're not disclosing that you may have trouble dialing 911, that you may or that the reception could be less reliable than your landline.
When people leave with this little device in their hands, many of the people I spoke to were not even aware it was a cellular device.
Wow.
Those that did express some concerns and said, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about this because we really don't get reliable cellular service, were told, oh, look, you're on the map, right in the middle. This will be no problem.
So, Kim, I know when you get onto a story, you're on it like a pit bull sometimes with these, you know, with traffic issues down your way and some of these other important things. Are you planning any follow-through with any of the consumer regulatory agencies over here over these advertising practices?
You know, for me, these are my neighbors, these are my friends, and this is a life and a safety issue. And I think the CPUC needs to be contacted, filing a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission,
with our elected
officials.
Advertising claims and so forth.
This is not one that we're going to let go. In fact, my neighbor who just got her old landline back said, I've gotten mine back, but I'm not going to let this continue to happen to my neighbors and my friends. And that's how we live out there. We depend upon one another. We depend upon communication even when we're miles apart. We're
right.
Community, and that's why we have email, we have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have redundancy built into everything we do, hoping that when the next fire comes and we're all evacuated and we're in different places or we're stuck there, we have some means to get information that may save our lives or the lives of those in our family and our neighborhood.
Absolutely crucial. And, of course, if lives are lost, that opens up a whole other serious set of issues. What message would you send to AT&T if they were listening to this broadcast? What would your parting words be for them, Kim?
AT&T, don't put us at risk. Don't put us in dangerous situations by falsely advertising this product and marketing it to people who already live in a vulnerable situation. This makes it worse. You trade our landlines for these cell phones without disclosing that they will not help us during an emergency. To me, that's just criminal. And if you don't care about our lives, if you don't care about our safety, at least care about your own liability. This should be a big wake-up call to you and your investors and your corporation.
So they could be facing wrongful death or even a class action like SDG&E did with the wildfires that it was found to have caused.
That's right.
Believe if, heaven forbid, a fire roared through there and people could not call for help.
We lost lives in 2003. We lost lives in 2007 in San Diego wildfires. We dread the situation that several years ago Australia was in on Black Sunday when they lost over 200 people, most of them attempting to escape in their cars.
Yeah.
There was no communication. They didn't have timely information.
Well, Kim, I want to thank you very much for joining us. And I'd also like you to let people know if they want to get more information about what's happening in Dearborn Valley, or if you live along that 94 corridor in the southeast part of our county and you want to sign up for the Antler Alerts that come by email and do they come by phone also?
No, they come only by email.
By email.
That's the most reliable.
I guess so, in your area. That's another thing. Get email. How can people sign up for those and how can they get more information?
The easiest way to sign up for our Antler Alerts, which is what we call them, is to go on our website, which is DearhornValley.net.
Right, and the publication, we should note, is called Dearhorn Valley Antlers.
So the Dearhorn Valley Antler. DearhornValley.net, right on the front page, there will be a link that says sign up for Antler Alerts. Along with, I may as well pass the baton back to you, our East County Alerts through East County Magazine.
Yeah,
our
Viejas Wildfire and Emergency
exactly.
Alerts that East County Magazine puts it out. And you're a great resource for us, I will add. You usually are the very first to know about the incidents in your own area, which is so true across the backcountry of the local editors, the local Fire Safe Council
right.
folks. That,
we can't depend on the normal sources. We often don't show up in the CHP incident reports. We somehow don't make those normal kinds of information resources. So it's a phone call, typically, or an email that comes through, or a text message.
It's really all about neighbors helping neighbors.
That's right.
And I hear your phone's ringing, Kim, so I'm going to let you take that. You actually get reception here in our studio.
Yes, I get reception down here.
And on that, I'm going to thank you very much for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you very much, Miriam. It's been a pleasure.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week.
This is Miriam Raftery, guest hosting this week's Destination East County program, which includes art, music, theater, and a preview of our own special event. The San Diego Bluegrass Society meets every second Tuesday at Fuddruckers Restaurant in Grossmont Center in La Mesa from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Musicians are invited to bring their own instruments for a jam session on the patio. The next session is Tuesday, March 11th. In Borrego Springs, the Anza Borrego Foundation has announced a night with songwriter Tony Feathers, with all proceeds to benefit the Anza Borrego Desert State Park's Junior Ranger Program. Feathers performs a one-man benefit concert at the Borrego Springs Performing Arts Center on Friday, March 7th at 7:30 p.m. As a park volunteer for the last 5 years, Feathers has shared his children's songs with the Junior Ranger Program, introducing children to the natural wonders of the park and their own role in preserving these wonders for the future. The Secret Garden, a musical, is being performed at the Joan B. Kroc Center through Saturday, March 15th by the California Youth Conservatory Theater. This year's production of A Secret Garden features a mix of adult professionals and some of San Diego's talented youth performers. Performances will be staged through March 15th. A new Art in the Park 2014 exhibit continues at Mission Trails Regional Park this month. The exhibit includes photography by Dana Levine, Eileen Mendel, and Dana Parnes. The San Diego Astronomy Society hosts stargazing parties on select Saturdays when weather permits at an East County location, the local Tierra del Sol Dark Sky Observing Site. The public is welcome, and visitors can see a 22-inch LIP telescope. The San Diego Astronomy Society's website is www.sdaa.org for more details and confirmation. The Lakeside River Park invites the public to a trail extension grand opening celebration on Saturday, March 8th from 9 to 11 a.m. This will be the newest segment of the San Diego River Trail, and the event will be held at the Lakeside Baseball Park on Marathon Parkway in Lakeside. There will be free family fun and opportunities to discover nature. Dogs on leashes are also welcome at this event. The Meet the Author series continues at the Lemon Grove Library. Local author Roger Conley will present a talk on his book, Fog and Darkness, at the library on School Lane on Wednesday, March 12th at 6:30 p.m. This talk is free to the public. Roger Conley is a historian, journalist, and communications consultant. He previously was a sports writer, reporter, and editor for the San Diego Evening Tribune, and also wrote for the Chicago Daily News. His work has appeared in many other publications. And now, a preview of some other upcoming events. First, a special announcement. East County Magazine invites the public to join a Mardi Gras celebration on March 12th to benefit the nonprofit publication. The Mardi Gras party includes masks and beads. The Bayou Brothers Band, which won the San Diego Music Awards, will be performing live music in Cajun, Creole, blues, and Zydeco styles. Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse in Santee is cooking up a special New Orleans-style feast complete with jambalaya and all the fixings. There will also be a silent auction, including a Taylor guitar, Hawaii resort stay, restaurant dinners, jewelry, dance lessons, art, a visit to the California Wolf Preserve, gift certificates, and much more. Tickets are available at Pinnacle Peak or by calling 619-698-7617. And for more information, you can email editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Guests can arrive in their most festive wear for the Mardi Gras party, which is all for a good cause to support nonprofit reporting and the Viejas wildfire and emergency alerts as well. On Saturday, March 15th, the Activist People's Ball will be held to benefit this radio station, KNSJ, and its parent nonprofit, Activist San Diego. The event will be held at the World Beat Center in Balboa Park starting at 7 p.m. This year, the event features Liquid Blue, recognized in the Guinness Book of World Records as the most internationally traveled band in history. John Elliott, the former KLSD radio personality, will MC. For tickets and more information, visit knsj.org. A theater production of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, the play based on the classic Peanuts cartoon characters of Charles Schulz, will be performed at Grossmont College on Thursday, March 13th through Saturday, March 22nd. The award-winning musical is full of fun and laughter with songs like The Kite, The Baseball Game, and Supper Time, and is meant for the entire family. For tickets, you can call 619-644-7234 or visit the Grossmont College website. At the Hyde Art Gallery on the campus of Grossmont College, an Artists for Healing exhibition is being held. Nearly 100 local artists, including Grossmont College art faculty, have donated their own artwork to 100 by 100 Artists for Healing, a benefit raising money for the American Cancer Society that takes place from 7 to 9 p.m. on Friday, March 14th. Two exciting upcoming events will be taking place in April, both on Saturday, April 5th. For months, the Water Conservation Garden on the campus of Cuyamaca College has been building and anticipating its newest addition, a butterfly pavilion. It's dubbed the Dorcas F. Utter Butterfly Pavilion. The Water Conservation Garden invites the public to a butterfly festival for the opening on Saturday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The festival will include tours of the pavilion, a pollinator parade and butterfly release, a butterfly habitat plant sale, butterfly experts, booths and workshops, butterfly discovery lab and kids crafts, plus appearances by Miss Smarty Plants and Miss Metamorphosis. For more information, you can visit thegarden.org/butterfly. The other event on Saturday, April 5th, is Project Wildlife's 5th Annual Wildlife Baby Shower from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Guests will be able to see baby animals as well as other rescued wildlife. Guests can bring donations or choose a gift online for the babies through a gift registry at Amazon.com. There will be tours of the triage center, where many of the Project Wildlife's volunteers work with animals, as well as a kids' zone with games and activities for the whole family. There will also be an opportunity drawing and a wildlife bazaar. And you can visit projectwildlife.org for more information. That's all for this week. All of these events and more can be found on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at www.eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is supported by our listeners and with a community enhancement grant from San Diego County.
See you around, East County.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Monarch butterflies have filled the air and gardens in San Diego County for as long as anyone can remember. These colorful butterflies migrate over 2,000 miles to winter in Southern California and Baja, Mexico. The great mystery of how generations of monarchs find their way south over such vast distances may never be known. This year, the number of monarch butterflies reaching Mexico have reached an all-time low, down an alarming 90%, the World Wildlife Fund just announced. Unless action is taken to protect them, the monarch butterfly's spectacular annual migration through our region may soon be no more. How can this be? One factor stands out: loss of milkweed. And increasingly, environmentalists are blaming Monsanto's Roundup Ready seeds as the biggest culprit. Corn and wheat crops genetically modified with weed killers have decimated milkweed by 80% across the U.S. Midwest. All along the coast from Canada to Mexico, more and more farmers are planting genetically modified crops. These seeds grow plants that are resistant to certain weed killers, so the farmer can spray his crops with an herbicide and his plants will survive, but the weeds will die. That includes milkweed. The use of genetically modified crop seeds increases the farmer's yield. The use of Roundup Ready corn and soybean seed from Monsanto have decimated the milkweed. Deforestation and urban expansion are also likely contributing to the monarch's decline. 2 years of unusual springtime weather is another enormous factor. But one thing is certain: without milkweed, the monarch cannot survive. The monarch or milkweed butterfly can feed off other plants like California milkweed, swamp milkweed, butterfly weed, horseweed, spotted joe-pie weed, and Indian hemp. But its larvae lives only on milkweed. The monarch butterfly has decreased so dramatically in numbers that its winter habitat in Mexico shrunk from 45 acres in 1996 to just 1.7 acres in 2013. What is the solution? Butterfly advocates are hoping the industry will get behind campaigns to get people to plant more milkweed. Imagine that, deliberately growing weeds. However, the short, scrubby weeds with milky juice and stubby flowers offer the best hope to preserve everyone's favorite butterfly. And who can forget the magic as a child of watching a caterpillar weaving its cocoon and transforming to the magnificent monarch before your very eyes? In addition to the efforts of individuals, environmentalists are also clamoring for governments of North American nations to take action. In March, President Barack Obama is set to visit Toluca, Mexico, not far from the Monarch Preserve, to meet with Mexican and Canadian presidents. Omar Vidal, director of the World Wildlife Fund's Mexico office, wants North American leaders to agree on a plan to protect the monarchs. saying the migration symbolically unites our three countries. If you'd like to help save monarch butterflies in our region, you can find milkweed seeds at local nurseries or online. You can learn more at monarchwatch.org or at livemonarch.com. You can also volunteer each fall to join in the annual monarch butterfly count held on the West Coast each Thanksgiving of the Xerces Society. That's xerces.org. For more details, visit the Green Living section at eastcountymagazine.org. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Leon Thompson.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso.
This is Janice Mork, host of People Power, profiling people and organizations making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is Janice Mork with East County Magazine and People Power, and I am here with Dr. Carole Ja Mira. She has been selected as one of 22 brilliant, beautiful, and brave Black women.
Her profile is on display at the Women's Museum here in San Diego.
Dr. Carole, what good works have you been doing for the community?
Recently, we went through a group called the San Diego Ambassador Program. I'm one of the elders, and we do a lot of things. They went to Washington and to New York in 2012 and 2015. They went to go to Haiti in 2016. Water for Africa with Vicky Butcher, and so there was funds, and so with the program, what we did, they had a sleepover a Saturday, and they gave me a Youth Ambassador Volunteer Certificate.
And this was Saturday, March the 1st? Okay.
Also, I'm going to be going to Haiti 10 days from now. We're having a group of students from University of Dartmouth, Massachusetts, our School of Business. We're going to see how to enhance the program that we have of agriculture and safe water. And I've been going back and forth since 1999, and we lost a lot in 2010 with the earthquake.
And what else have you been doing in Haiti in the past since you started going back there?
I've helped them. We build their homes, sending them to school since 1999. Created the Angels for Haiti project, and a lot of people in San Diego support me for that. And that's in 2001, they wanted scholarships, school band, art, and music. So I help with the hospital whenever I can, but they will have to pull me and drag me because I say I want to be with the children. So I do program, art, music, a school garden. I can go there. And the idea is to teach them how to fish, teach agriculture, how to sell it in the neighborhood villages, and also how we can transform the foods. Let's say if you have pepper, how to do pepper sauce.
What is the Angels for Haiti project all about?
In 1993, I formed the Health Through Communications Foundation, which was a program. At the time, I wasn't going back to Haiti. And it was to do program for underserved population in San Diego. So I feel if you give a child a brush or a musical instrument, he or she will never touch a gun. That's simple. It's an opportunity to be part of the community. And then in 1999, when I decided it was time to start going back to Haiti, so I went to replicate what I did. So I took my energy from here in the community and do more community public health in Haiti. While here, I only did free medical care, like with Father Joe. That's why we call it the Angels for Haiti. So people raise money. We have scholarships for the school. So this is part of what the Angels for Haiti do. It's education, scholarship.
That's very good work that you do. What other good works have you done in the past?
In San Diego, let's see. What did you do? Some volunteer work. I work with the Urban Indian, San Diego Urban Indian Clinic downtown. And for many years also, I work with the Kumeyaay Indians, the Borona, the Sequans. At the time, they didn't have much money as a OBGYN. And after that, they were very grateful and to give me money to start the art and the music program in Haiti. The Sequans, very good to me. As a gynecologist, I was one of the founders of the Rachel Center for the Homeless Clinic. It started in 1986. Then I had started with the St. Vincent de Paul Village Clinic with Father Joe in 1997. So to this day, which is in April, is going to be 17 years. So I do volunteer work. Also, I do volunteer work in El Cajon for the past year and a half. There is a clinic called Volunteer in Medicine. So I've been doing free medical care for women who have no insurance. So those are the three things I do in San Diego. And I do things also in other countries, including Haiti, where I've been going back and forth and doing a lot for the children. We have medical care and art, music.
Very nice. And how did you find out that you were selected as one of the 22 brilliant, beautiful, and brave Black women at the San Diego Women's Museum?
I got an email and I said, are you telling me that I'm one of the chosen women? They said, yes, you are. And we are so honored to have you. I felt honored. Yes, that was my reaction. Because there are so many wonderful women doing wonderful things around in San Diego. Beautiful Black women do a lot of beautiful things. And I was glad that I was chosen. Also, there are a lot of the other people that I know. We've worked together for many, many years. So it was like a sister reunion.
When did you find out that you were selected?
February 6th, it's about a month prior to that. And there were some things they wanted from us, like they wanted to know a favorite quote. And also, who inspired me as a woman? And also, whatever I wanted to say. And they wanted a little something. So I chose the quote from Saint Thérèse de Lisieux, and where it says, I am at the right place at the right time. You know, something to be in the moment. You believe you are where you're supposed to be. I have it next to my computer because my journey has been very long and there were many things that I've accomplished and I felt, oh, this is it. But I'm always continually growing. And also I had a picture of my grandmother. My grandmother raised me since I was 4. She was my father's mother. My grandmother didn't know how to write her name until she was 64 years old. And I taught her how to write her name letter by letter. And the day she signed her name on the passport, it was the most beautiful day in her life. And what I learned is that it's never too late to learn. She was 64 years old.
How do patients find out about you? How do you get your name out there?
I'm working with Matt. He read some of my writings and he said, you know what? You are a very powerful person, because he had a friend who was sick. And then I saw him and I said, this is what's wrong with you. And changed his life. And then that's how he ended up meeting me. And he said, when I went on the internet, I didn't see the powerful person who you are in person. I don't see it. So I've been working with him since July.
Is there anything else that you would like the readers to know about you?
I'm very happy. All the past issues that I've had, I was able to deal with them. So now I'm in a stage where I have accomplished many things in my life. I'm content with what I have. I am blessed that I'm sound of mind and I'm able to help a lot of people who are suffering.
This is Janice Mark with East County Magazine and People Power. I just interviewed Dr. Carole Ja Mira, and she has been selected as one of the 22 brilliant, beautiful, and brave Black women. And her profile is on display at the San Diego Women's Museum until March 28th. Thank you, Dr. Carole.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. Today, I am delighted to welcome the winners of last year's San Diego Music Awards for Best Blues Band, the Bayou Brothers, with a sound straight out of Louisiana's dance clubs, blues festivals, and backyard crawfish boils. The Bayou Brothers are known for their rollicking, foot-stomping, musical gumbo style. It features a blend of, as you can hear, accordions, keyboards, guitar, bass, drums, and rubboard, all with three-part harmonies. band performs Zydeco, R&B, and blues music in the tradition of New Orleans Mardi Gras festivities. They've played for some of San Diego's biggest music festivals, including Gator by the Bay and the San Diego Blues Festival. And next, they'll be performing at our very own East County Magazine Mardi Gras party on Wednesday, March 12th at Pinnacle Peak in Santee. Now, Rick Lee founded the Bayou Brothers back in 1996. So, Rick and everyone, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Rick, can you start out by introducing yourself? Tell us what you play, where you're from, and then we'll let each of the band members do the same.
My name is Rick Lee. I play drums, and I'm from Coronado, California.
My name is Sister Judy, and I play the Zydeco rubboard, and I live in Mount Helix.
All right.
I'm John. I'm on the accordion, and I live down in Imperial Beach.
I'm Jack Stevens. I play guitar, and I'm living in El Cajon, and I'm from Kansas City, Missouri.
I'm Danny Perez, bassist for the Bayou Brothers out of Santee, California.
All right, right here in Santee, yeah, where our Mardi Gras is going to be. Now, can you start out, Rick, by telling us how you got this whole thing started? Are you from the South, from New Orleans, or what got you interested in this kind of music?
Well, all of us had toured through the South and picked up the flavor of Zydeco music in Louisiana. And John and I go way back to high school, John Chambers and I, and we founded the band back in, about 1996. And we just started the band as just a side project for fun. And we played Sister Judy's housewarming party. We started at a backyard party way back when. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe it, but that one gig turned to 2 to 4 to 8 to 100. We played thousands of shows.
I was at that party. Judy happens to be a neighbor of mine, and I had no idea that was where you got your start.
It's full circle now. Judy is our rubboard player now. And so anyway, we're just having a great time, and the band's been very successful to this point.
Great. Can you tell us what Zydeco music is for listeners who may not know?
Zydeco music is kind of a mixture of Cajun and soul and a little bit of blues. It's picked up a little bit, and they have several dances that they do. Zydeco, the term actually is pick it up a notch or put a little more salt in the snap beats.
I like that. I know I heard Rick describe it earlier as Louisiana party music. So,
and it primarily a lot of accordion, which is traditional in Zydeco music. And
yeah. For those that think of accordion as, you know, Lawrence Welk or something, this is really radically different.
Not in Zydeco. No,
it's very exciting music.
We don't do any polkas in Zydeco, no. Yep. And we also add the rubboard.
Judy, play a little something on that rub board. Let people hear what that sounds like.
Sure. Here we go.
All right. Very nice. Now, I know that you're known for getting the audience involved, too. Tell us how that works, Judy.
Well, that's a little bit of my role as the rubboard player, because rubboard is an instrument that pretty much anybody can pick it up and make some noise with it, and it brings out a really fun side of people. Everybody gets a smile on their face when they put a rubboard over their shoulder, so always bring an extra one or two and get the audience up
in the
there.
Audience, watch out. You might get to get up and play with the band.
We've had some big people play rubboard with our band. We've had the mayor of San Diego. We've had the mayor of Gloucester, England,
when
we were touring in England.
Wow. Yeah, you've done a lot of traveling. Where are some of the other places that you've played, Rick?
We've done some fun gigs in Laughlin, Vegas, and the most fun was touring the UK twice. And the second time we brought this blues legend, Lazy Lester, with us, who wrote a lot of the blues hits. He's a blues Hall of Famer. We've been all over California, Nevada, Arizona. But we love playing here at home.
Speaking of here at home, we've got the two newest members of the band here, Danny and Jack from Santee and El Cajon. How did you guys get involved with all of this?
Well, I actually was... I was playing a job with a different band, and when we finished our show, I was loading my gear up, and John an old friend of mine that I've known since about 1969. He approached me and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And I found out that their band, the Bayou Brothers, were following my group that I was with, and happened that their guitar player was on tour in Europe doing a blues, a blues thing. He does this every year.
He's a very
well-known blues guitar player in town. And John said, "Hey, why don't you come fill in with us, and play some gigs with us because we need guitar players." So that's what I did. I went and played with them and did a few gigs. And next thing I know, I was officially a Bayou Brother.
Fantastic.
So it's worked out well.
Yeah. I was invited to a gig to come in and participate as a substitute for their, one of the gentlemen that were there before me. And immediately I realized the musicianship was top-notch. And the music was infectious. It was just like, wow, I love this. And in a little due process, I came in to kind of be a full-time member as well. And I'm loving every minute of it.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, it certainly is toe-tapping, lively music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rick, you guys write some of your own original songs as well as performing traditional music and songs written by other people. Tell us a little bit about your style and how it's evolving.
Well, a lot of songwriters like us, you take real events, like one of my favorite new songs is Don Don's Barbecue, and we used to play this casino in Yuma, the Paradise Casino, and one of the fellas that worked there in the kitchen, Don Don, had a rib joint out there in Yuma, and he would invite us to come over, and he just had the best ribs and potato salad. And so John here wrote a song, Don Don's Barbecue, about Don Don. He's a real person, and that's where a lot of the best material comes from, is a real life experience.
Very good.
And now we're going to play a little excerpt from one of your original pieces, Zydeco Shoes.
Well, I'm ready to put on my dancing shoes and get on out there on the dance floor.
Another one of your original pieces is Cajun Casserole, and this one's got a little bit of four-part harmony going.
Cajun soul.
That is fantastic.
It's
Thank
hot.
You. Now let's hear a little bit more about some of your music and some of the songs you might be playing at our Mardi Gras party.
March 12th, and that's from 6 to 10 out at Pinnacle Peak in Santee. And the proceeds of that event, by the way, are all to benefit our reporting for East County Magazine for our show right here on KNSJ, which is nonprofit public radio. And you can get the ticket details at eastcountymagazine.org or by emailing editor@eastcountymagazine.org. They also will be on sale at Pinnacle Peak. So, Rick, can you tell us a little bit about some of the songs that we're going to be hearing?
We do some traditional Cajun and Zydeco. Jambalaya is one song that is one of my personal favorites. We have Gonna Party.
Gonna Party Till They Turn Out the Lights?
Yeah, Gonna Party Till They Turn Out the Lights. That's another favorite of mine. High Roller Zydeco is a really high-energy Zydeco tune. It's a really hip tune. It's one of my favorites. It's got great vocals, a really good hook, and a great beat.
Very cool. Then we've got one called Cupid's Shuffle.
Cupid's Shuffle has been something that has been successful, I think, at just about every show we play. Judy gets out there and gets the audience going, and there's a line dance that goes along with it, the Cupid Shuffle.
Ooh, that sounds
and
fun.
It's got, again, that infectious groove. R&B kind of funkier with accordion on top and Jack strumming the funky guitar. Yeah. It's just fun.
Nice. And how about Ramblin' Man?
Well, Ramblin' Man is it's an old cover by the Allman Brothers, which they're a southern rock band, but it's actually considered Zydeco also, and it's like a crossover, you would say. And it's just a great song that everybody can identify with. It just seems to always get the crowd. Every show we play, the crowd just loves it. And, of course, it lets me show off a little bit because it features a lot of guitar soloing on it. And so it's a lot of fun.
Another one, the name alone sounds pretty fiery, Hot Chili Mama.
Hot Chili Mama, yes. Well, that kind of sums it up right there.
Now, I understand there's an interesting story behind one of your original songs that came about and was inspired by an incident that happened when you were playing at the San Diego Zoo. Rick, tell us what happened at the zoo.
We were playing the San Diego Zoo Wine Festival this last year. And as we're playing, one of the zookeepers came and said, "Have you guys looked behind you? There's something going on behind us." Well, it was a baby rhino that was actually dancing to our music.
Wow.
And so he peeked behind the stage, and sure enough, there he was, just dancing away.
Doug the Zydeco.
To the Zydeco music. So John penned a song that we're currently going to put on our next CD called Zydeco Rhino.
Zydeco Rhino. Well, there you go. You heard about it. Your first
Zydeco notes. Rhino. We've got kind of a jungle beat going on with the Zydeco music, so.
All right. And what's the album going to be called?
Zydeco Rhino.
Zydeco Rhino. Okay.
It would be great with the picture on it. Yeah.
So we're all looking forward to the big party and hearing everybody in action out there. Put on your dancing shoes, listeners, and if you want tickets, you can get them online at eastcountymagazine.org. Where can people find out more about the Bayou Brothers, Rick?
Well, we have a website, bayoubrothers.net, and we do have a fan club run by Sister Judy. And also, one fun aspect of our website, we have Sister Judy's Rubboard Club. If you get up and you play rubboard with us, we'll take your picture and we'll put it on the Rubboard Club.
Wow.
And you'll be a member of Sister Judy's Rubboard Club.
Well, there you go. We are looking forward to that. Let's have a big round of applause here for the Bayou Brothers. Painters of the Lemon Grove History Mural, Kathleen Strzelecki and Jan Laval, will receive the esteemed Ben Dixon Award. That's the highest award bestowed annually by the Congress of History of San Diego and Imperial Counties on Saturday, March 8th, between 11 a.m. and noon in the Marina Village Conference Center in San Diego. This award recognizes those who have made a long contribution to enriching and enhancing the cultural and historical resources of our region. Between 2006 and 2013, these artists painted the five-panel history mural, which is an epic 65 feet wide by 18 feet tall, at 3308 Main Street in the heart of Lemon Grove. The mural adorns an outside wall of the historic 1912 original General Store, which since 1980 has been known as the famous Lemon Grove Pastry Shop. Notable are the mural's brush strokes. It's not a digitally mastered work. The artist stood on scaffolding, painting every square inch by hand, and a special formula of multiple coatings protects the work from graffiti and sun and rain. Each panel depicts a separate era in Lemon Grove's colorful history. Reporting for East County Magazine and KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Ed Barena for East County Magazine and KNSJ with some important safety tips. On average, 20,000 deaths and 21 million medical visits occur annually, Fire Chief Sam DiGiovanna reminds us. Firefighters and paramedics respond to thousands of accidents every day, he says. Chief DiGiovanna, author of the Chief's Corner column on East County Magazine, offers these tips to help prevent accidents in your home. In the bathroom, cleaners should be locked away, out of the reach of children. Medications, scissors, razor blades, and cleaning supplies should be kept in a locked cabinet or out of the reach of children and pets. Non-skid stickers in the tub and shower can prevent slips and falls. Children should not be left unattended in or around the pool. Pool areas should be fenced in with a gate secured with a child-proof safety lock or latch. Children can stick objects in open sockets and get hurt. Unused electrical outlets must have safety plugs to prevent accidental electrocution from foreign objects being put in the socket. Every home should have a fire extinguisher. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors should be on each floor of the home and tested monthly. Batteries should be changed at least every 6 months or as necessary. Keep paper towels, plastic plates, plastic utensils, and anything other than cooking equipment away from the stove. These items can easily start a fire if left too close to the range.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.